This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review. Welcome to this episode of Catholic Review Radio. With us today on the show is Mauricio Cortez Sierra, and we will be talking about the amazing Sagrada Familia Basilica in Barcelona, Spain, where he is one of the architects. Mauricio Cortez Sierra is an architect known for his expertise in innovative design and technical precision. He's currently the lead architect for the Tower of Jesus Christ and the Cross Terminal at Sagrada Familia. In this role, he's responsible for overseeing the construction and development of these key elements, ensuring that they faithfully reflect Antoni Gaudí's original vision while incorporating modern engineering solutions. Thanks to the wonders of modern technology, Mauricio is joining us today from Spain. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for the invitation. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Can you give us a brief history of the Basilica, which started construction in 1882 and is just now nearing completion?
Yeah. A short, brief history of almost a century and a half of construction.
Yes.
Yeah. Just a quick disclaimer. I want to mention that this year we are very happy to finish the central towers, but yet the glory facade will remain to be built.
Okay.
So we are nearly there, but still not. We cannot call it complete. But anyways,
it's probably the kind of project that will never be complete, right?
Yeah, I think so. There's always work to do, artistic interventions as well as architectural and restoration. But as you said, construction began in 1882 in what was then a totally new part of the city, because before Barcelona was constricted to the medieval walls, it was forbidden to build outside the walls. But once that the walls were torn down, the new city began taking shape, and a religious association got together for the devotees of St. Joseph, they were called, to gather funds to build an expiatory church. An expiatory means a temple built only with the donations of the people, right?
Right.
So the first idea was to build a replica or a temple inspired in the Basilica of Loreto in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was started by the architect working for the Diocese of Barcelona in 1882. And means that Gaudí was not the first architect. He was called 1 year after because the original architect had disagreements with the board. So Gaudí started in 1883. And since then, he was first commissioned to carry on with the original plans. But at some point, he proposed a completely more ambitious project for the Sagrada Familia. And that's how we came to the design that we can see today.
Mm-hmm. So the Tower of Jesus Christ, on which you're the lead architect, was completed in February. That now makes it the highest point in the Basilica's history, right? 172 and a half meters, which for those of us in the U.S. is about 565 feet. What is the significance of this tower and how was it built?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Gaudí, starting from this original project of only two towers, proposed to the board a church with 18 towers, 12 in the facades, in three facades devoted to the apostles, the disciples of Christ, and then an array of central towers, Jesus Tower surrounded by the four evangelists and the Tower of Virgin Mary. So out of the 18, Jesus Tower is the tallest.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, 172.5 meters. It's symbolical because it's a few meters below the height of the Montjuic mountain in the city. So Gaudí said, we cannot surpass the work of God, which is creation. So we need to stay a little bit lower.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that tower was completed on Gaudí's 100th birthday. He was the second architect for the project, as you said. When he took on this project, did he realize it was going to last more than his lifetime?
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting question because at some point around the 1910s, the board and the foundation got a big donation,
mm-hmm.
quite important, that encouraged Gaudí to present a new project to the board. And he explained, look, we can continue as planned and maybe we can finish this generation, or we can do what I believe should be done, a bigger project. But then we have to understand that it's going to take several generations to complete. And he and the board agreed that it was not a bad thing. Being the work of a multi-generational project will encourage and create more sense of belonging to the community and the city. He was perfectly aware that each generation will build a small or big part of the temple, and in a couple of generations, the temple will be finished.
Mm-hmm. When did it originally open for masses and things like that, mm-hmm. while construction kept going?
It has to be said that since Gaudí's time, the first construction piece was the crypt. And the crypt functions as a church for more than a century. In Gaudí's time, it was consecrated. Now, the main basilica, it was covered in 2010, and it was consecrated by Pope Benedict.
Okay. All right. Okay. And Mauricio, how long have you been working on this project at Sagrada Familia?
At Sagrada Familia, this year is precisely 20 years.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. So in Pope Leo XIV will visit Barcelona June 10th to attend the inauguration of the Tower of Jesus Christ during his apostolic visit to Spain. As the lead architect on that part of the project, how significant is it for you to have the Pope attend this event?
Well, it's thrilling that the Pope has accepted the invitation to preside the first solemn mass that commemorates the 100 years of Gaudí's passing.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the celebration of the benediction of the Tower of Jesus itself. So it's a big celebration, big historic moment for us in reality.
So that's amazing that he's going to be able to be there for that, to make that all work out. That's wonderful. In October, Catholic Review Media, for which I work, we're going to be leading a pilgrimage to Fatima Lourdes in Barcelona. When we first discussed the plans for the pilgrimage, the tour company wanted to include the Basilica as just part of a driving tour around the city, and only see it from the outside, which I understand is magnificent in and of itself, but I convinced them to add another day so we can get inside the Basilica to see this marble. Even at that, I imagine we won't be able to see everything, of course. But if somebody's visiting Barcelona and not going inside the Basilica, what are they going to see on the exterior?
Mm-hmm. Well, the visitors approach the Basilica. It's the highest building in miles around the Eixample of the city. And the visitors get impressed by the height and monumentality of the church. But for the trained eye, and as your audience and you will see a Bible in stone in the facades. You will see the Nativity facade, which was the one that Gaudí finished, with all the decoration sculptures that celebrate the birth of Christ, obviously. And then on the east side, and then on the west side, the Passion facade, which was done by the next generation, with all the sculptures of the Via Crucis, the Passion of Christ, the Crucifixion, and the Resurrection. And then, for the first time in history, the central towers will be visible. So it's a new view of the skyline in Barcelona from many points around the city, and also a view from the parks nearby. So I hope that everybody can get in, because it's definitely worth it. But if people that don't have the time, it's a still quite rewarding visit on the outside.
So even just the outside itself tells the story of the whole Bible, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Whose vision was that? Was that all part of Gaudí's vision originally?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it doesn't come out of nowhere. He was an admirer of Gothic architecture, and when back in the day the Gothic builders used the facades to explain the Bible, like in Chartres Cathedral, for example. So definitely there's an inspiration. But he wanted to represent each architectural element in the Basilica to have a hierarchy and a symbology that people could read it.
That's amazing. It's just incredible that's the way that works. So once we go inside the basilica, what should people be looking for?
Mm-hmm. It's very nice from my point of view, because it's one of the examples where architectural space communicates a lot of feelings. I have to tell you that Sagrada Familia is the Spanish or Catalan translation of the Holy Family.
Yes.
So on the interior, the only figures that you could see is the Holy Family. You see the crucified Christ, you see Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph. There's also Saint George, which is a patron saint of Barcelona. But other than that, you won't see any figures. But that allows you to just relax and feel the space, the light that enters beautifully through the stained glasses, and really get the aura of the place, which is very special.
That's awesome.
Yeah, walk around, and if you have the time and you feel like, you can enter the Chapel of the Blessed Sacrament if you want to pray. It's a restricted area. But they just walk around an interior. It's a forest of columns. Gaudí designed a very innovative structure in inclined columns that split into branches and reach the ceiling vaults with a lot of light coming from above. So just enjoy the nave, I would say.
I've been watching the construction of this develop over the several years, and I really can't wait to be inside of there. It's going to be great. If people want more information about the pilgrimage to Portugal, France, and Spain for this October, they can visit https://tinyurl.com/cr-pilgrimage26. We're talking with Mauricio Cortez Sierra. He is one of the lead architects at Sagrada Familia Basilica in Barcelona. And we're going to talk to him some more right after the break. Stay with us on Catholic Review Radio.
Have a burning question about the Catholic Church? Curious about faith, traditions, current issues, or ways of deepening your spiritual life? Now's your chance to ask a bishop. Call in to Catholic Review Radio and leave a recording of yourself asking a question for our special guest, Baltimore Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker. Whether it's about the sacraments, church teaching, or everyday faith, no question is too big or too small. Your question may be featured on an upcoming episode of Catholic Review Radio with Bishop Parker. Dial 443-263-0230 now to ask your question. Don't miss out, your voice matters. Again, that's 443-263-0230. And be on the lookout for our special Ask a Bishop episode coming soon.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Baltimore Archbishop William E. Lurie is calling for greater civility and respect following recent public exchanges between the President of the United States and Pope Leo XIV. In an April 16 statement, the Archbishop said, quote, "The recent public exchanges involving the President of the United States and Pope Leo XIV have been a source of concern for many of the faithful. While moments of disagreement between leaders are not new, the manner in which we speak about one another, especially across such significant offices, matters greatly," end quote. Archbishop Lurie emphasized that the Pope's role is not political, but moral and spiritual, and said dismissing that voice risks undermining human dignity and the pursuit of peace. "A culture marked by suspicion, ridicule, or harshness cannot sustain the kind of dialogue necessary for the pursuit of the common good," Archbishop Lurie said. He urged Catholics to remain engaged in public life, but to do so with charity and honesty, even in moments of disagreement. Archbishop Lurie also called on the faithful to pray for Pope Leo XIV and for civic leaders, asking that all work towards unity rather than division. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. The Vatican is planning a series of global events to mark the 100th anniversary of the birth of Pope Benedict XVI. The Joseph Ratzinger Benedict XVI Foundation announced initiatives across multiple continents through 2026, leading up to the centenary on April 16, 2027. Events will include lectures, symposiums, and cultural programs exploring the late Pope's legacy. Organizers say the effort will also encourage younger generations to engage with Benedict's theological and cultural contributions. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. To receive more Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world, subscribe to our e-newsletter by texting the letters WMET to 84576, or you can subscribe to our podcast. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbelt.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
We're back on Catholic Review Radio. Our guest today is a special guest calling in from Barcelona, Spain, Mauricio Cortez Sierra. He is one of the lead architects on the Sagrada Familia Basilica, which is nearing completion after more than 100 years, almost 150 years of construction. Mauricio, some people say that it might ask why the church should build something as big and ornate as Sagrada Familia. They might say it would be better to spend the time and money serving the poor or other ministries. And yet the church has always upheld beauty as one of the its cores. Why is Sagrada Familia a beautiful place to pray?
Yeah, like you said, just the foundation of the project, it was a thing that wanted to involve the whole community and the city.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it was meant to be built only with donations. Nowadays, the entrance fee that the visitors pay is a donation itself.
Yes.
But there were at times real hardship and scarcity in the 20th century and the times of the Civil War and so on. But now it's a fully functional basilica temple that serves many purposes, and people from all creeds are welcome and visit, and even not being Catholic or Christian, they really get moved and emotional about when they enter and contemplate the space. So it is impressive for me how space and beauty can communicate feelings or something to believers and non-believers alike.
Mm-hmm.
Sagrada Familia doesn't leave anybody indifferent when you get in and walk around.
That's a very interesting way to put it. It would seem to me that there's got to be an element of evangelism within the architecture, right? I mean, if you're talking about the exterior being all about the Bible, the Nativity, the Crucifixion, if you're talking about the inside being about the Holy Family, which is a model for all of us to live our families in a holy way, it would seem to me there's no way that this doesn't tell the story of salvation. Is that what you feel when you're there?
Yeah, I think so. And also, it is no coincidence that each one of the Nativity and Passion facade is divided in three portals devoted to the three virtues, so faith, charity, and hope.
Mm.
And I think the whole temple communicates that faith, charity, and hope for everybody. Yeah.
That's awesome. How do you, as an architect, make sure that what you're building lifts people up spiritually? I'm sure that it's a whole scientific and engineering thing in and of itself, but how do you make sure that that helps people pray and lifts people up spiritually?
Mm-hmm. Well, what we can do, and we do, and each generation has done along the years, is to try to follow Gaudí's project as faithfully as possible, because he was a genius, no denial, and in the way he integrated nature with symbology, with religion, everything intertwined, it creates such a powerful space that the best thing that we can do is to try to be faithful to his project that he worked 40 years on it. And he really struggled to get, at some points, money to build faster, that he would have liked, but at least he had enough time to build very big plaster models in detail of the rest of the Sagrada Familia, and that really luckily made possible the continuation of the works, and his disciples and collaborators carried on what he started. So it was a lot of serendipity and providence, if you will, that Sagrada Familia has been possible.
I'll bet. How did you get involved with this project to begin with?
Interesting. I was an admirer of Gaudí's work since I was a student. And then through the doctor degree, the PhD, get involved in international congresses and met Jordi Faulí, the architect director nowadays, and Jordi Bonet, the previous architect. So I was lucky that I was called for a trial period. And then, I've been here for 20 years already.
That's great. What do you like best about the Basilica? I mean, you must be there on a regular basis. What inspires you when you visit?
The nave always. I am lucky, in a way, to arrive early before it's open to the public. So when I have time to walk around, it's a magical moment early morning. I will encourage your audience if to visit early. There's an hour of silence in the mornings, so you can walk around without big tourist groups and things. So it's a better experience. But anyway, I do the same. Mm-hmm. Also, climbing the towers in the morning, it's part of my job, but I look how the Sagrada Familia inserts itself in the city, in between the sea and the mountain, and around the community is a special feeling.
Mm-hmm. Years ago, there was an art exhibit of things from the Vatican. It was in the Metropolitan Museum in New York, then at the Art Institute in Chicago, and then out to San Francisco. And I got a chance to interview one of the curators who was working on that. And he said, you know, at some point, these ceased being really, really wonderful sacred art and just things that were too big to get through doorways. You know, so there's the practicality of doing mm-hmm. something like this. When you get into the practicality of something like building the Tower of Christ, how do you separate that from the holiness of it?
Yes, I guess you get confronted with the everyday legislation and building codes and building practices.
Sure.
So, no, for example, for the Jesus Tower, I was asked yesterday what was the most rewarding. I think it's the project of the cross and the tower is based on little models that Gaudí left, and also written descriptions of what it was, the symbology, what it wanted to include, and what it wanted to represent. And then get a team of multidisciplinary team, engineers in facades, glassmakers, ceramists, and everybody pushing the project towards the goal of achieving Gaudí's vision and what he wanted to communicate. It's so rewarding that everybody in his own field, the glassmakers, until they get glass that resembles crystals, and they were happy, we were satisfied, and we are really communicating the image that Gaudí wanted to give. So everything gets together in the end. As long as you keep the original imagery and the conceptualization by Gaudí, and everybody pulls together to in the practical materiality of everyday's work, the result, I think, it's successful and beautiful.
It's amazing to me that Gaudí left behind those things so that people like you could come along decades later and finish that same vision. So that's not like, oh, this architect did this and then somebody else designed this. It's all part of one vision. I'm very impressed by that. It's fascinating that you're able to do that. I imagine in some ways it makes your work a little bit easier because you have something to go on. Mm-hmm. But as an architect yourself, you probably have your own vision for things. So how do you reconcile those two?
Yeah, for sure. And the profession for one hand, and then the higher purposes.
Yeah. When you walk up to the Basilica, what strikes you first when you see this every day? Or is it something new every day?
I live, say, nearby the Sagrada Familia, next to a church that Gaudí visits every morning before coming to the temple every day. So at least I do half of the trajectory that he followed every day. Mm-hmm. And I approach the Sagrada Familia from the west. And my first view is Mary Star, which is very meaningful also for me. We were involved in that project too. And it was the coming out of the COVID pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
And when we inaugurated the Star, we gathered huge crowds around. People were, I think, in need of celebrate something. And it was also Christmas time. And the Star was, for me, a sign of hope for everybody that came. Everybody was so happy, which it was out of a very difficult period. So the Mary Star is the first thing that I see every morning when I get to Sagrada.
That's beautiful. I'm going to look for that. I'm going to look for that. Thank you. Well, we've been talking today with Mauricio Cortez Sierra from Barcelona, Spain, talking about the Basilica de la Sagrada Familia, the Basilica of the Holy Family. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for the invitation.
This is Christopher Gunty of the Catholic Review, and you've been listening to Catholic Review Radio. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for listening.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week, available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM, and also WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area. Check us out at catholicreview.org/CR-radio. Also on Apple Podcasts, Alexa, or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.